Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Press the button.
The button.
No, with no further ado, here comes the show.
I'm sure it's all worked out. Yep, it is. All right, here we go. In 3, 2, 1.
German or Else is brought to you this evening by Commandant's Knackwurst. Open a can today.
As close as you get to a commercial. Hey everybody, welcome to Play Retro. I'm Scott Johnson, one of your hosts. And I don't know about you, but Mecha Hitler used to keep me up at night. No dictator should have the power to cyborg himself into a position of ultimate power and destruction. So good thing I brought a Gatling gun and chicken dinners.
His mustache hitbox is too small. And I'm your other host, Brian Dunaway. And I just want to get out of this World War II era Nazi nightmare of a castle maze without having to kill any more German shepherds. Nazis, yes. Emboar, yes. Let's kill them. But good boys, no. Now, who wants a wiener schnitzel? I found it in a dead Nazi's pocket. Still warm. Who's a good boy? You are. Bad Nazi. Bad.
You do kill a lot of dogs in this game.
I don't care for that. Well, not if you play the NES one.
Did the old games not have dogs? What'd they do? I don't remember.
They did giant red. The Nintendo said you can't have the swastikas. Yeah. You can't have Hitler with a mustache, yeah. And you can't be shooting no puppy dogs. So they turned them into giant rats. Mm. Some general looking just guy in a brown uniform and no swastikas to be seen.
Yeah, this is the version I played on my Ambernick the other day. That you mentioned it, because they had all these pictures of Hitler on the wall with no mustache. The swastikas were crosses or something else, or some kind of weird other symbol.
It was plus symbols, because I thought the same thing, because I was like, hey, is that supposed to be cross?
Yeah.
Nintendo's not supposed to do any religious type stuff. Was that better than...
Well, you know, it was like the cross was, it was not like total Jesus cross. It was more like,
no, it was like Switzerland's, the Swiss Army cross, right?
Yeah. It was more like that. And I think that's how they got away with it. But yeah, those were Nintendo
screw the
days.
Swiss.
Yeah. They were busy. this is right around the time that Mortal Kombat got Sweat for Blood and all that kind of thing. So
yeah, that's right. Oh, and there was no blood in that Nintendo version either. It looked like, was it? Like sweat.
It was supposed to be sweat.
It
just looked like water, like big globs of water. It was stupid. Yeah. It was very, very dumb. They changed that by 2, but boy, MK1.
Yeah, I think by the time they got to the SNES version, they had said, yeah, I forget. There was one that was later on that didn't do it. It might have been the Game Boy Advance one. Is that what I'm thinking of?
MK1, that's only Super Nintendo. They never made it to NES. So that one had the sweat. And there was no way of turning it off. I think you could turn off the sweat, but you couldn't convert it to blood. The Genesis version of the game had blood, but you could turn it off.
I really am surprised they didn't add more blood. It's like, okay, you got blood or more blood. What do you want?
Like some more blood. And by the time MK2 rolled around, though, I think Nintendo loosened up and had blood in theirs.
Right. We bleed what Nintendo don't.
Yeah. Exactly. I was playing that the other day, too, because I was thinking about MK1 and this whole reboot they're doing, which is so weird.
MK1. Cool. I'm so excited. Got some gameplay just a couple of days ago. Mm-hmm. Earlier in the week, we saw the exciting trailer going back to the original story before the story.
Well, they're rewriting it is what they're doing. So they're basically in the game. Liu Kang gains the power. And this is all happened at the end of 11, so it's not like a big spoiler or anything. But
no, no.
At the end of 11, or no, sorry, 14. Wait, 12. What's the last one that they made?
Now you got me. Hold on a second.
12?
12 was the last one.
Was 12 it?
Was the, right. What's now? Now you can make me look. Now I'm getting Shit. Now I'm getting Final Fantasy and Mortal Kombat. You got too many darn games if I can't remember. There is no Mortal Kombat 14, right? Well, that's no. it. 14, yes. Fan, no. Is that something? No.
Hold on. Did they do a 14?
11 so was the last one. Thank God Tizzerite Dynamite saved us in the chat room.
Oh, yeah.
I sure was 11. Looking.
Jeez. Okay.
There is some Mortal Kombat 14 fan fiction. That's what was confusing
that's
me.
That's in I'm somebody's like, what head.
This?
Yeah, they're super into that. Okay, sorry. Mortal Kombat 11.
Right.
Then, you know, you think you're going to 12, but you're not. Mm-hmm. What you're doing instead is Liu Kang is redesigning the world. He's basically deciding how the world should be to avoid all this conflict. It fails right. miserably, of course, but that's what he tries to do. And in his version of the world, we found out just this week at the Game Fest, Summer Game Fest, Sub-Zero and Scorpion are brothers in his version. Of the new world, which is not correct based on old lore. So they're just having fun with it, man. They're doing like a canon rewrite, but not really.
I'm so excited.
They're doing it like, you know, out in the open. They're basically saying, hey, Liu Kang's like God now. So he's going to tell everybody what they're going to do or whatever. And you got like a young Raiden in this thing.
They didn't have me in until this 11. I was interested and I played at somebody's house. And I was like, oh, this is pretty sweet.
11's awesome. It's really good.
I had no interest in really deep diving. Now, this one, I'm almost tempted to do the pre-order, which is like $109 because you're supposed to get some early access. But we're going to see how early that access is. If it's at least a month, I'm like, okay, maybe.
Maybe.
But yeah, because it's $69 at launch or pre-order. I don't care about the little extras other than the free time.
If they give you like a season pass and other characters and stuff, that's worth it, I think. But. Oh, yeah. I don't know. I hate pre-orders.
$109, Scott.
I'm not doing
that's
that.
That's insane.
Yeah, I'm not doing that.
We would never play. We would never paid that for a game on our. Yeah, we would have maybe.
No, hell no. I'm not doing it. It's not happening. $109, forget it. There's no way.
No,
I can't think of a game where I've ever spent. Well, it's not true.
I was about to say, you better watch it.
There was
remember. Oh, yeah.
What was the Genesis game that had a taller cartridge, had extra shit in there?
Yeah, that's usually how they get you. The extra shit.
What was it, though? It was a big, thick, heavy cartridge, and it cost about $100. And it was the most expensive. Was it Eternal Champions? Something was $100, and I paid
right.
like a dumbass.
Jesus. I don't know.
Genesis game.
Why are they making it so difficult to find this?
All right, here we go. Most expensive. Oh, these are just rarest, though. I don't want that. I want to know what I paid at the time. I can't find it. But there was some game that had an extra tall cartridge, and it was heavy because it had extra hardware in it. And I don't remember what it even did. But it basically was a Genesis cartridge that I spent $100 on, and everybody wanted it, and it was a big deal. And now I don't have any memory of it. What a waste of $100 that must have been. You know? How dumb.
It must
How
have been, because now you can't remember it, and you probably dumped it.
Probably did.
Right? You mean just
took a big old dump. All right. So here's a quick thing. I'm all garliced up thanks to the help of one Brian Dunaway.
No, you're welcome. Yeah, and I didn't just send you like spaghetti and garlic. No, that's you're talking about OS.
Yeah, we're talking about an OS for my Ambernic 30 G's XX Jim Bob .20 or whatever the hell it's
Ambernic
called.
RG if you had this 35XX.
There you go. 35. That's the number. We're looking for the magic number. Anyway, I love it. I really like the Garlic OS. I like all of the options for that. I think it's just better. It's just better than what comes stock with that thing. And it's got all the baked in RetroArch stuff if you're familiar with working around in that anyway. So you can do a lot of customization and other stuff, which is very nice. I cannot stop playing Pokemon Pinball again. Once again, that thing rears its head and says, hey, Scott, remember me? Remember the addiction that is me? And I say, oh, hello, old fiendish friend. They called Pokemon Pinball from the, Nintendo Game Boy Advance.
Yes.
I remember your ugly face. Let's play. And then I played that a lot. I went on a tear a little bit on trying to find Japanese RPGs, JRPGs that I never played on the PlayStation, because that was a for a lot of people, the PlayStation PS1 was like a high point for JRPGs. And one of them, obviously, is Final Fantasy VII. Nobody doubts its dominance during that time. That was probably the biggest hit. But there were a bunch of others, and I wasn't really familiar with them because at the time, I hated that genre. These days, I really like it. I enjoy it. This when this stuff was first landing, turn-based combat turned me off.
Oh.
But now, I like all things turn-based combat. I love it. It's my one of my favorite sort of genres across the board, whatever we're playing, whether it be something like Civ or this, or, you know, XCOM, whatever. I like taking turns. I like it.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, so I've been doing that. So last night, I was up till, I don't know, 2 a.m. playing old Japanese role-playing games on the PlayStation 1 on my garlicked-up RG-58-28-22 there in bed. It was great.
I was doing something similar. I also played a little Final Fantasy stuff, and I also played a good bit of Game Boy Advance. I'm trying to remember which pinball. This format is just fantastic for playing pinball games. This Game Boy Advance type era, but in this more Game Boy color.
Didn't we figure out it's the same exact same? It's the same screen ratio. I know that, but is it the same size screen?
No, absolutely not. Game Boy was 2.9 inches, including the game. The Game Boy Advance was 2.9 inches.
Yeah,
and the this screen I think is a 4-inch screen or something like that. Very close to that. Matter of fact, it's going to tell you that's going to be our next thing that me and you work on. Is getting you the accurate representation, because if I think I sent yours at full screen so that you get the full glory of it. But if you set the overlays in this thing, it will represent it at a 2.9 inch screen, and all the graphics will be super sharp, which is what I like now. See, it's got Game Boy thing down here where you can kind of it's labeled, and it's got like a little ridge.
Almost looks
it.
Like it's part of the bezel or whatever. Yeah
exactly. So
my Game Boy Color and Game Boy Black and Whites all look like that. They have that overlay.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yep. Pretty cool. Did you see this too?
What do you
I printed
look at that little tiny booger.
Yeah, I sent you the more comfortable one, but I just got this one
mine's
this
beefy.
Morning.
Look at this chat. Look at mine. Mine's all beefy.
Yeah. Now yours is more comfortable, but this one's more aesthetically pleasing, including the fact that I printed it with this sweet PLA resin print that I got, spool of stuff I got. This is an Amiga beige, I believe. So it's supposed to be the same color as the Amiga. It's a Jesse Premium PLA from printed solid.
Is it really called Amiga beige? Is that what they call it? That's crazy.
Yeah, they call it the beige number 500. And if you look on the website, it does say the Amiga 500. I also have printing right now. What I have in my hand, though, is this color that printed this handle out, and which is in my printer right now, is a Commodore 64 beige brown. So it looks, I think it looks pretty good.
Yeah, it looks
It looks pretty good.
I think it looks great. Yeah. Looks awesome. Yeah. Well, I'm in love with this device. I play it all the time.
We have, if you haven't caught up with the Core and the Play Retro Show, we've all been the community at large, and including the producers, we've all got one of these AmberNick RG 35XXs, and we've been having a blast with them. And I am really enjoying just learning more and more stuff about this thing. And we've been communicating back and forth with a lot of listeners on getting their stuff set up.
Yeah, and Brian's doing some hackery where he can get some juice, like basically boost the CPU, right, or unlock it.
Well, actually, the one that was that? No, I think, yeah, that was this one. This past week, there's a new project that is allowing you to unlock the GPU. So it's we're already using the CPU a lot, but they're looking at unlocking the GPU so you can play some more advanced games than beyond PS1 and prior. Because that's what these things are really good at, which is perfect because all the controls has a D-pad, 4 buttons, and then some shoulder buttons on the back, which is almost, you know, that includes almost all machines, PS1 and prior. Of course, the PS1 did eventually start doing the DualShock and that, but that covers all this. Yeah. Now, the one I'm holding up right now, did we talk about this past week? This just is the Miu Mini Plus. Yeah.
If you glanced at both of them, you might think he just has two of the same thing, but these are different devices.
Yeah. Yeah. This one's a little bit smaller. The buttons on back are supposed to be a little bit better. They both have their advantages and disadvantages to me. The big thing is this one has Wi-Fi, and that's the Miu Mini Plus.
Hold them up together. I don't see them at the same time. There you go.
Let me take them out of the. Forget it.
Yeah.
So on the right hand side, I've got my Miu Mini Plus. Yeah. That's the one I'm shaking right now.
Yeah.
And then on the left hand side is the Amber Nick.
Yeah.
This one, the Miu has the Wi-Fi. The other one has an HDMI out.
Yeah.
I like local couch co-op. If you want to play people over the air through net play, which I find an inferior experience.
It's a buggy nightmare is what it is. It's
But you know, you can update stuff on this one and on the Miu Mini because it's got Wi-Fi, and you can update your ROMs and you can do the game saves like you're wanting to do so that you can put them between different devices. I'm not really that interested in that. But there's a lot of things you can do. Retro achievements. There's different things that may benefit you, but that didn't appeal to me. So I'm still favoring, when I'm playing with these, I'm still favoring the Amber Nick. I just like it better. Something about it satisfies me in a way that I can't necessarily explain. Still working on it.
Well, that's awesome. I'm very excited for the comparisons as we continue forward in our world of emulate this and emulate that.
Emulate this and emulate that. Oh, and I did. Neither one of these has Bluetooth audio, but I did order an adapter.
Yeah.
And it's just, it has a regular headphone plug on one end. And then it goes out to like this dongle piece, and you can press the button, and it's got Bluetooth action. And I was able to pair some Bluetooth headphones to both of these.
Yeah.
Because the device just does it.
The device does it, no matter what it plugs into, it doesn't care.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I've been in that. That's a very good addition. $20.
I think. No big
both
deal.
Of these are,
if all you have is Bluetooth, you know, earphones and earbuds and things.
Yeah.
Then that makes perfect sense to do that. For me, it's like I got plenty of wired stuff. I don't mind using it for that.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with it. And there is a little delay.
Yeah.
The ones I have are 5.0, Bluetooth 5.0, and there's, you know, just a little bit of delay, but not enough to really cause any problems.
Bluetooth 5.0.
But I'll tell you what it doesn't work with.
What?
AirPod Pro 2.
Oh, shit.
Everything I order off Amazon that I've ordered like 3 or 4 devices, and none of them pair with my AirPods Pro 2. Actually, that's a lie. They pair.
You dirty liar. All right,
go ahead. Dirty liar. They do pair, but all they do is they make like a half of a second worth of audio. And then it just cuts off. So I'm assuming it's some kind of protection cutoff or something. I've got a 5.3 version coming in today. Mm. I'm assuming everybody else uses all the same chips. So
sure.
What you going to do?
What are you going to do?
Green, all that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Whatever.
But man, these things are fun.
They are.
We'll talk more about them as we.
I played a lot of the games this week.
Yeah.
Did on you? My Amber Nick.
That's how I played them. I did too. But Wolfenstein I played there. Again, SNES game. It's a real bummer. I don't think it's very good. And also they changed the voices and the music and stuff. They changed a lot in that. So they're not yelling out these cool German things.
That's right. That was the other thing on the Nintendo version. You're right. They used English and they did not.
He's like, hey, you over there. Yeah. They basically just made up a fake. And then you know what? The newer ones are kind of like that. Like I want to say New Colossus or New Order, whatever the hell it was. The most modern ones, and there's a third one coming soon. Those games use symbology that aren't. I don't think they're swastikas either. We're just done with swastikas.
Are we okay with shooting Nazis still?
Is
there going to be a day that we wake up and it's like, that's it?
No,
shooting Nazis.
No,
they're people too.
No. I think the reason that they don't put the symbology in there, it's not because they don't want to offend Nazis. I think it's because it's Nazi imagery. It's like
it causes a distribution problem if you're in Germany, right? Because in some European places, they will not allow anything that that shows that symbology.
Is this still true in Germany? Okay, so back in the Unreal Tournament days. The version of Unreal that shipped in Germany had no dismemberment, no jibs, and no blood at all.
No jibs?
Yeah. It was the law. You couldn't do it. Like in Japan, same thing with China. Skeletons and bones, like World of Warcraft, had to be edited so that the undead didn't have their bones sticking out. It's some kind of
that's a bunch
thing.
Of how are you supposed to be undead?
That's what I say, but you know, culture, I guess.
Yeah, culture. They're offended by things. We're offended by things. If you show a booby in a video game, forget it. You're out of here.
Yeah, we're weird.
That's
over
America.
Here. Yeah, America's like you got a boob in there. Wait, hold
America,
on.
America, we're anti-boob.
You slaughtered a whole airport full of people with a gun. Fine.
Cool.
Hold on. Fine. You put a booby in there. What the hell are you doing, boy?
That's for mommies and babies.
Yeah.
It's stop like, it.
That's for mommies and babies. And that's it. Let's dive into our discussion because there's a lot to say about Wolfenstein and its predecessors.
Shall we play a game?
Let's
can
go
I
back
say before you start.
Yeah, go
can
ahead.
I say something before you start.
Yeah, of course.
Before we started this week, I had no clue what Castle Wolfenstein and Beyond Castle Wolfenstein was. I thought I did, and then I played the game.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, so continue.
I have very specific memories of both of those games because I had an Apple II and right. I played them back then. And we all thought they were awesome back then. But holy shit, we have come a long way, folks, a long way. We'll talk about these first. So these were top-down kind of stealth action adventure games. There was a stealth aspect to these games that are a little bit weird. Inspired by Berserk of all things, and also set in World War II. You played an ally spy escape from a Nazi fortress, navigate through castle mazes, that kind of layout, outmaneuvering or neutralizing Nazi guards using stealth guns and disguises. Guards respond to suspicious behavior. Not really.
Yep.
They're kind of not. The AI is dumb.
If you run into the wall, which I did a lot when I was trying to figure out how to use the keyboard.
Yeah.
The screen will go on the Apple II version that I was playing.
Yeah.
And it will alert the guards and they will come get you.
Now I'd like to warn everybody about what I'm going to play. All right.
Yeah. Everything is 150 on the audio, right?
And it's really terrible. So enjoy what I'm about to play you some audio. Okay, and here you go.
He said Octung, yeah. Which means attention.
Yeah, it means Octung baby.
Yeah. I didn't.
That makes you want to die.
Right, and I'm trying to figure out what all those are. So this is Muse Software from 1981 that created this Berserk type clone for the Apple II. Which I had never played, and I guess I never really even saw. I don't guess. But the Germans that are walking around are yelling different German things, and they're all in the manual. I looked them up as Octun, Halt, Führen, Folgen. I don't know how to say all these things, but basically it's attention, stop, fire, follow, I surrender, which is great because you can hold these guys up.
Yeah,
if you point
their
gun
stuff
at them, they will stop. And they will surrender if they say the magic word.
Then. Yeah. The only downside of that, though, is you then kill them. You never let them go. They never.
You would be a fool because they're just like. So we had talked about Metal Gear Solid, and this is where I originally kind of decided to kind of go back and learn about these things, is because we talked about in the Metal Gear Solid, the stealth action games, and Kojima was inspired by this game. I did not know that. And it was this is what happened. Metal Gear got its start here, as well as did a lot of other things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
we'll talk about later.
So this is the really base beginning. This and Wolfenstein 2, which just sounded like this. It's about the same, a little louder. they are kind of almost the same game. In a lot of ways, like it's barely a sequel. It's new content, obviously. There's a couple of new mechanics, or at least the levels are a little more, I don't know. I don't even know if the word interesting is the right word, but they're a little bit more complex.
Yeah, they're more complex. There's more three-dimensionality. But like you said, this is those weird maze games like Berserk. And I'll describe describe these things as top-down, but they're kind of not. The maze part is top-down. But then is front facing for your sprites and characters that are walking around this maze.
Yeah, there's no cohesive perspective here. This is just how you made a game back then. Yeah.
The maze games were real popular during this time as well. And so it was good to have a maze game. And it was based on, Nazi World War II stuff, action stealth kind of things that wasn't really out there a lot. And so this kind of occupied a unique space. Silas Warner was interested in creating just that, and he did that. Mm-hmm. Did you know this guy, Silas Warner, who co-founder of Mew Software, which lived and pretty much died in the 80s.
Yeah.
He was 6'9", 300 pounds.
Good Lord.
People seemed to like him very well. He lived in Chicago until he was 7, and him and his mom moved after his dad tried to kill both of them. And so they went on the run. And so, yeah, he's a real interesting character. I did a whole deep dive into to the Muse software and its rise and fall. Mismanagement, again, pretty typical of 80s.
Yeah, it's early. Nobody knew what the hell they were doing yet, right? It was just like, what? What
are we doing? Were making games, but they weren't always business people.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. No, that's a fair way of putting it. I was hoping, let's see. Yeah, they just did the two games, right? That was it.
Well, they did other games too, but this is by far their most recognizable Castle Wolfenstein Castle Wolfenstein. And you'll see why, because simplistic gameplay, reviewers at the time had kind of poo-pooed it a little bit because the graphics were kind of lagging behind his competitors, but the gameplay was so competitive. You were stealthing around, even though line of sight, mm-hmm. characters could, other, you know, the bad guys could see you. The mm-hmm. Nazis could see you.
Yeah, they were like magic.
Yeah, Nazis. For some reason, the detection was, you know, kind of wonky, but that was part of the fun. And then unlocking boxes, getting German stuff like, is this some sauerkraut? All right.
Yep.
Whatever.
Yep.
Wiener schnitzels.
Wiener schnitzel. Yep. Yeah. I mean, so I played this a little bit this week, or attempted to. I kind of had a hard time playing it.
Right.
The emulator stuff on this is a little tricky, but my experience back in the day was, this felt like, whoa, games I thought were just a little spaceman shooting other space things. That's what video games were around this time. And this game was saying, no, what if there were doors and walls and places to hide and things to collect, and it would remember where you were and what you did. And like that, I don't want to understate how important that is as a founding principle of games moving forward. It's a massive mm-hmm. thing. Right. And I don't think it gets the credit it deserves for that.
I agree with you. It's got elements of RPG because you're not just trying to beat a clock, right? You're not trying to just run and not think, and you're actually getting to plan. You're getting to stop, monitor the guards' movements. You can tell which kind of guard they are. Different guards have different are more aggressive.
Yeah.
And it's pretty deep. At first I was, when I started playing this, I played it on the Commodore 64 emulation, the Mac emulation, the Apple II emulation. And I was just blown away with how complex it got, because you do have to do a lot of strategy. And not to mention, you don't just point your gun and shoot. You have to have two joysticks if you're playing this with joysticks, Scott.
That's right.
Can you imagine having, your dad shit the bed whenever you would mess with the one joystick.
Yeah, even if you just played normally with it, he would be mad. Imagine two of them. Oh my gosh, he'd lose his mind.
Imagine two of them with them yelling Nazisms.
Yeah,
your dad would have had a stroke.
Yeah, but here he is. Yeah. His is my dad right there. I have audio of him being mad. Here you go. That was him. He's freaking out.
But yeah, I had trouble playing this at first because I couldn't figure out how to shoot the gun. And then when I went through the manual and stuff and saw, oh, I got to use a second controller to point the gun. So it gets really complex, and one of the more complex games I've played in a while. I couldn't believe it was coming up on an Apple II. It really kept me engaged a lot longer than I thought it would. And so I understood almost instantly why Kojima and the guys at id Software were so inspired by this game to create their own games.
Well,
and also to make their own game that was a version of this.
Yeah, that's true. Now, we're going to move on to what changed the world. You'd think, okay, well, we've left that in the past. The only two notable games that company made were these two, and only a select, very small subsection of humanity ever played the damn things. If you grew up with one of these computers in your house, maybe a friend of you told you about it and gave it to you on a floppy disk or whatever. Somehow you got this game and you got to play it. Done.
You hexer.
That's the end of the story. No, it is not, because along comes this.
Achtung!
Achtung, baby, Achtung. Oh, yeah, babe. All right. Oh, I love that sound, by the way. Yeah, gigantic fan of that sound effect, by the way. Where is it? I pulled it out by itself.
This changed.
I love that.
This changed first person. This changed everything, right?
Yes, it like invented it and invented the concept. Now, it's not like there weren't other attempts in the previous or in previous years to create a first person like experience. Mm-hmm. They're like dungeon crawlers, but they were all very rudimentary and sort of move one square at a time and redraw the environment.
Even Muse did the same thing. They even had a first person kind of perspective games. Mm-hmm. Where you're walking through mazes like this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was definitely this sort of thing. And it was. And by the way, if you notice in this video, if you're watching chat or someone watching on the archive, if you're listening, I'll describe it. This game was weird in that the performance of computers at the time, which most commonly would have been like 286s sort of thing. If you had a 380.
I think the minimum requirement for this one, I think, was a 386.
This might have been. I remember upgrading for it. I had to get a better computer for it. But if you were suffering with like slowdown, there was a adjustable border system, and right now you can see this blue border.
I forgot about that. You're right.
You could pull it all the way out if you had the computer for it, but most people didn't, so you had to have some level of zoom on that, and it just kind of created a more postage stamp or letterboxed experience. This started, you know, it's a very young id Software. This would start what would become a complete alteration of all things video games forever. Like,
yeah,
denying it. Right.
And this was like before they started working on this, before they even got out of their previous contract, where they were like, what was it? The Gamer's Edge is what they called their dev team. Mm-hmm. When they were working there's another company I'm working with
not
now.
Not 3D Realms, not Apogee. Apogee published it.
But I think, they were all related.
Yeah, they were all hanging out. Those guys were all, it was all shareware. Everybody was doing the stupid, you know, here's the shareware disc in a magazine pouch or whatever. And that's how we're going to get this thing around. Or we're going to put it on Usenet. And that would go all the way up to their Doom era stuff. But this thing was like, you knew when you played this, you just knew we were seeing something massive happen.
Yes.
You just went, oh, okay, this is a whole thing. This is going to change everything. And it quite literally changed everything.
Yeah. And you may forget sometimes. You may think, oh, Doom was first. No, this was the first one. This is the engine that, this is when they started developing their engine that would go on, you know, to John Carmack. Was just 3D engine, baby.
Yeah.
Was it ray casting, I believe? Because this is the first time we're starting to see textures on walls. Mm-hmm. We'd had rudimentary boxes and stuff, but it wasn't immersive.
Right.
And this took it to the next level.
Yeah.
And this was my first experience with Wolfenstein. And when we started doing this, I was thinking, oh, I'll start at the beginning. Wolfenstein 3D.
Yeah.
Wrong.
This was
confused.
Yeah. So they took basically an established name for some gamers and then just blew it out of the water. And it very quickly, in a very viral way for the year, for the time this came out, which was 1992, in a very viral way, suddenly this game's spreading like wildfire. Everybody's sharing discs. They're freaking out. They're losing their mind. I bought a new
Everybody
computer.
Wants to be BJ Blazkowicz.
That's right.
That's me.
He wants to blast some freaking zombies, Nazis. And at one point, you do get to fight Mecha Hitler. That's your final boss. Spoiler.
Yeah.
I used to think that was the coolest thing ever, to put Hitler's half-eaten shitty body inside of a robot and then fight it and kill it. And I loved it. It was
the
just so much
crew,
fun.
Tom Hall, John Romero, John Carmack, all those, Adrian Carmack, all those guys, man, they were young, and they just wanted to thumb their nose at the establishments. Anytime they were told, don't do that, they doubled down.
Or you can't
and said,
do it.
Oh,
yeah,
really?
Exactly.
Then we're going to put, we shouldn't be doing so much imagery and blood. We're putting double.
Yep. Welcome. And then eventually it's like, hey, welcome to Doom. Would you like to see some additional blood and a whole bunch of like satanic imagery? How about that? That'd be fun. Yeah. No, don't do that. We're going to double down again and do it anyway.
Nothing speaks to the youth like rebellion. And this was rebellious. Even though I may doesn't like it now, as it looks like some, you know, 3D, 2D sprite game that you know, we're so used to all this stuff, it seems like nothing. But this is big news back in the day.
Yeah. And if you look at the SNES version of the game, which I will now share.
No thanks.
I'm going to share this with people. You need to see some of the differences.
This is an atrocity. And by the way, I've got some conflicting data on this. They did not do... John Carmack and Romero and all those guys were not intimately involved with this conversion until they had to be. They agreed to make a port.
Right.
And then they contracted it out to a third party, another programmer. That programmer got sick, according to what I had read, and according to interviews with Romero. And it got delayed. And so they ended up having to step in and finish it out. So this other developer has, I'm trying to remember the person's name. I had it in my notes. Why is it not in my notes?
Not Tom Hall.
But anyway.
Not
it wasn't Tom Hall. Soft Disk earlier, by the way. That was another name I was trying to pull up. But anyway, yeah. It didn't go as planned. And so they had to make it themselves. And is this the SNES version? Yeah, or is this is
SNES.
Oh, that looks like butthole.
Well, it doesn't look as good as the PC version just generally, but right. But it has the guy won't slow down to look at it, but it's got these replaced. Oh yeah, here are the giant rats instead of dogs.
Yeah, instead of dogs, giant rats.
Yeah, it's just Nintendo, man.
It's fine to kill rats, Nintendo, but yeah. Not oh, and what was he stealing there? Was he stealing cheese? That is hilarious. So yeah. They replaced that sprite. So when you go in when you kill the German shepherds in the DOS version,
yeah,
you can pick up the dog food and it gives you a health boost.
Yeah,
here it looks like he picked up a wheel of cheese.
Yeah,
spot on.
It also controlled kind of like ass, but it still had this right here. I love that sound. Could hear that.
I did like that. The music was actually kind of neat. Hidden Rooms. That was a big deal. Hidden Rooms, and they just entered in one of the hidden.
Yeah,
rooms.
Monster. Really they call it. They would eventually go on to be called Monster. There's the plus, by the way, instead of the symbols. They would go on to call that Monster Closets, especially when Doom came around, and they got really good at it. You know, still see it today. You walking around Resident Evil 8, you know, bump into a door. Oh shit! There's 15 things in this hidden space. Yeah, you know, like you just
isn't that so much fun.
Yeah,
that you did. That's not something you would have planned for, but it shows you how much id really played their own games, because it really you wouldn't think, oh, what would be cool in a maze? Well, what if you accidentally bumped up against a wall and it opened, or if you accidentally shot a wall? Because that's what happens most of the time. Most of the time, you're not looking for these things.
No, you just happen to do it.
Yeah, you just accidentally do it. It's like, well, so what's down this hallway? Oh, okay. And then you shoot something like, oh, oops. Oh, the door's opening. Something's opening.
There's mustache-free Hitler that just showed him.
Wait, are you gaming? On a Chromebook?
Yep. It's got a high-res 120Hz display, plus this killer RGB keyboard. And I can access thousands of games anytime, anywhere.
Stop playing.
What?
Get out of here.
Huh?
Yeah, I want you to stop playing and get out of here so I can game on that Chromebook.
Got it.
Go ahead, break it down. Discover the ultimate cloud gaming machine, a new kind of Chromebook.
So the other thing I didn't tell you, I don't know if I've told anybody else this, but I met John Romero in 1993 when this was, or no, I'm sorry, 92, right before all this stuff went off.
Right.
He was working at a little software store here in town called Software and More. So he was here in Salt Lake City, living here for a bit. I think he was either with his mom or I can't remember what the deal was. So it was all right before that. And I met this dude because I was out buying a stack of floppy disks at Software and More and shook hands with long-haired John Romero. And then about a month later, I hear about this shit popping off and I went, oh my gosh, did I just talk to that guy?
I talked to him last year. He has a Discord server.
Yeah.
And I got an opportunity. I think it was Salentis, one of our community members, who had an opportunity. He won a raffle essentially to talk to John Romero, who lives in Ireland now, I believe. And he passed that opportunity on to me. So I got to sit in a nice little Skype meeting with John Romero last year, and it was still just as entertaining.
That's pretty cool. I think he just got added to the game lifetime Hall of Famey thing, I think.
Yeah.
I can't remember it. I don't know if him and Carmack even talk anymore. There was a lot of talk about those two not getting along.
They're both true visionaries in their own areas. Of course, Romero being just a great, was fun kind of guy. He was really good at the larger vision, and Carmack could just make anything happen. I mean, you would just ask Carmack and he'd be like, yeah, I can make that happen. And
like American McGee, Romero and a bunch of other guys would sit around and they would make amazing level design and character design and all this stuff. And then they just say, hey, Carmack, can you make an engine that'll do all this dumb shit? And he's like, sure can. I'm a huge nerd. And let's do it.
If you've never read or listened to the audiobook of Masters of Doom, highly recommend that. And it kind of chronicles a lot of the stuff we're talking about. Yeah. And he's got some great interviews, just the game developers conferences and stuff. You look up Romero's stuff on that, where he's talked about, I think, was it called the moratorium?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what they usually call them, the moratoriums on a certain game.
Yeah.
And they'll go through it, and they're just amazing.
Now, they also followed up with something called Spear of Destiny, which was basically mission packs or like DLC in a weird way. Like, it was considered a full game.
Yeah, you would back in the day, the way id operated is they would develop the first however many levels of a game. And then you would get it off shareware, whether it be on a demo disc or if you download it off a bulletin board or whatever. And then you would get to complete the game by buying these expansions, like the extra parts. If you wanted to finish the story,
right?
They hook you. They'd hook you with the freebie. It's a drug. It's the drug dealer business model.
It's how they get you. Right,
that's how they get you.
That's how they hook
you. The one you're playing right now looks freaking amazing. Was that the Game Boy Advance? Which one is this one?
No, this is PC. This is PC version of Spirit of Destiny, and it's much better. I mean, I think somebody's playing it in a modern computer is how it's looking.
Yeah,
not only this good, but being 16:9, and there's a few things going on here.
Well, there's the overworld map too. That blew my mind the first time I accidentally pulled that up. I'm like, oh my god, this thing is huge.
Yeah. By the way, if you've never played it, there's a RPG called
Doom RPG or the Wolfenstein.
There's
RPG?
A Doom one as well. So there's two of them. There's a Wolfenstein one and a Doom one. They're both based on these properties, and they're amazing turn-based little games. I think they may have been GBA games. I gotta find those again because those are so freaking fun. They're so good.
I think I read a little bit about this. Romero was when he got, somebody gave him a phone or something, and he's like, oh, we should do, he's like the visionary. He's always like, oh, you know what we should do this. And he and they did. And it was like, what, 2006-08 or something like that.
Oh, I gotta find it. Where?
But it's well liked as well. Harder to emulate though, because it's going to be a really interesting time when we start getting nostalgia for Facebook games and mobile games, and we're like, how the hell are we supposed to emulate this? I mean, there's BlueStacks for Android, that kind of stuff, but getting the actual files themselves and where they're at, it's going to get more difficult, like the ROMs.
Here it is. Okay. Wolfenstein RPG, 2008, iOS, Java, and Brew. So it didn't go any further.
Yes, that's some Apple stuff going back home, right?
Oh, yeah, dude.
Yeah.
That is such a fun game. Man, I wish that was available somewhere easy to get. It's not on the store anymore.
Yeah, I didn't see it anywhere in the usual locations. A deeper dive may reveal it. Maybe it's in a monster room somewhere on the internet, and I just haven't.
Because look at this. Look at this screen. I just put it up. It's turn-based, so you do it like a dungeon crawler.
Yeah.
Like wizardry or something. And so you're just kind of inching through these installations and whatever, and you're taking turns, and you're picking up loot, and it's an RPG. It's so good.
Yeah. I don't know why you're going against the guy with a wrench, but, a plumber's wrench. But, hey, why not? Who am I to judge?
It's a Gordon Freeman kind of vibe going
on. It is kind of a...
but anyway, I thought I was a big fan of Spirit of Destiny as well. That game and those mission packs were huge, and they were basically when I went, all right, well, I am now forever an id Software fan. I will never not play whatever they do. And sure enough, they would make I can't think of an id Software game that I didn't like until Rage, which is
that's
when those guys fell apart.
Yeah, but I think that was because of internal problems, right? That was more,
it's a mix of things, but
it happens.
That
it
Rage happens. Rage 1, the engine was real cool. The EdTech engine even today is very cool. It's like that wasn't really the problem. I just think those guys were bonking heads. I mean, by then Romero had long left. He went and did Daikatana over there at I forgot the name of the studio that's not there anymore. But that was a bomb. That thing sucked. Like Romero will openly admit too. Like Daikatana was ambitious, and it was like, hey, post Quake, what are you going to do now? Oh, the next great shooter. That was not the next great shooter. That was the next great mistake. It was bad.
It's funny. Lightning sometimes only happens in, you know, in this type of environment where there's a specific set of skills that all combine well, and just, you know, that's how it is sometimes. John Mayer, Carmack, Tom Hall, Adrian Carmack, all those guys together.
Yep. And the two Carmacks aren't related. I used to think they were brothers.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Every time I see it, I always go, wait, are they related? No, that's not right.
Yeah, those dudes are unrelated.
I know exactly two Carmacks in my history of learning about gaming, and they're right there together.
Did you ever play Return to Castle Wolfenstein back in what year was that? It's
actually my favorite game. I played this thing for freaking ever. I just love this game so much. Return to Castle Wolfenstein.
Yeah.
2001, right?
Is 2001, that came out? Yep, you're right.
Yeah.
Let's see, Mac OS and Linux got it in 2002. This game was rad, and it had some of the most fun, like assault type maps. Mm-hmm. I remember at the time thinking all shooters need to feature this mode. It's so good.
Yeah, and it still felt stealthy, and it felt like it just had so much of the heart of everything that was Wolfenstein to me. So I still love it. It still looks good. I'm looking at it right now on screen, and
it's fine.
It's still serviceable.
Yeah. It's very serviceable. Now here's the thing to note. They were not done. They had a few expansions. There's some other stuff, and RPG I mentioned and all that, but they were about to launch an amazing return to form in the modern games. We're not going to talk about those in detail, but I want to recommend people get them on. They're always on sale. You can get them just about everywhere. Every platform's got them. New Order. I can't forget. Something Colossus is the second one. And then I would avoid the one with the sisters. With his daughters, that's not a good game. Don't play that.
That's not good?
No,
is his daughter?
It's bad. No, two twin daughters, or I don't know if they're twins.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah, I got you.
It's not good. It's a bad game.
Yeah.
Blazkowicz is in jail or something. It's bad.
Blazkowicz does not get enough love, and I want a shirt with OG Blazkowicz just right on my screen with one eyebrow raised. I used to love that. You have no idea how much that blew my mind back in the day when there wasn't a health. Well, there was a health bar, but his damage was on his face.
Yeah, dude.
When you were in trouble, the damage was on his face.
Even better in Doom, but it started there. And you're right. It was like this moment of like, badass. Look at this evolving thing. Yeah, it was so cool.
Why the hell we got bars and shit?
Yeah. I agree. That was really innovative idea. I don't know whose idea it was, but I freaking love it.
Yeah.
If you want to really get your head around the games, here's my order I would play them in. I would play the classic just to get your feet wet. Like, just get a taste for why that thing's the OG, right? You need to feel it. It doesn't hold up great because a lot of really cool shit came after, but you need to just, from a historic perspective, get your feet wet with original Castle Wolfenstein 3D. And then 3D. I would jump straight to Return. I would play RPG if you can find it. And then these new ones are awesome. And there's a new one coming.
What do you think about Enemy Territory? You liking that one, the multiplayer?
I can't remember if I played much Enemy Territory. It was all multiplayer, right?
Yeah, it was all multiplayer. We played that a good bit. And I liked it because it was set in that world, but it was friends. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Friends were there.
Trying to remember. Let's see, Steam still has that.
I missed out on...
Oh, it's free to play on Steam if you want to go... Play
is it? Okay.
Yeah. And let's people are playing. Oh, this—they just released this as a playable Steam game in 2022,
right?
And it's now just like a free to play multiplayer. I'm gonna do this later.
I'm gonna do this right now. Why are we even talking?
What are we even doing here?
What are we doing?
Yeah, I'm doing that. That's what I'm doing. I didn't know that.
You had mentioned earlier. You said what's the word I'm looking for? Did you ever play the one that was just called Wolfenstein back in 2008, the Raven Software thing, I think it was? Did you play that one?
No, that one I don't think was good.
Right. I went from Return and I played it, and then that one came along and I was like, I wasn't really interested, and then I came back later on. But I'm pretty interested in some new stuff too, right? Aren't they got some new Wolfenstein?
The new ones are amazing. Yeah, and the new the third one or three, I guess, is all they're calling it. The new one that's sort of been announced, but no one's actually seen any gameplay yet. That looks awesome. Really excited about that. Here they are ranked by culturevultures.com. All right, so here's what they rank them. Number 12. So these are the top 12 Wolfenstein games. I think there may only be 12.
I was about to say if I'm looking at it now, and yeah, I think if number 12 is on there, is that then they've included everything.
Yeah, I think so too. So number 12, they have Beyond Castle Wolfenstein. So sorry, Apple II version of the game. You're bad.
Right.
11 is Wolfenstein Young Blood. That's the newish one I told you to avoid.
Oh my God, they put
It's bad.
Young Blood below the new one.
That's because it's poop.
I mean, but the original one.
It's poop. It's garbage. It's not a good game. It's a real unfortunate thing. I kind of wish it didn't exist. Number 10, Castle Wolfenstein, which is your original there.
Yeah.
9, Wolfenstein Cyberpilot. I don't even know what that is. But I'm in. I'm all in.
It looks like you kind of get to play as Mecha Hitler. Is that what's going on?
This came out from Arcane and Machine Games back in...
I don't remember this at all. It's published by Bethesda?
Yeah, 2019? I don't remember this at all.
Yeah, me either.
It must have been some... I don't know what this was. Must have been some weird side thing. Wolfenstein or Stein 2009, they put it number 8. Number 7, Wolfenstein Enemy Territory, which we just talked about. Number 6, Wolfenstein 3D or RPG, which I agree that should be on this list. 5, Wolfenstein The Old Blood, which is fantastic. 4, Return to Castle Wolfenstein, also great. 3, Wolfenstein 2, The New Colossus, fantastic game. 2, Wolfenstein 3D, the original 3D. And number 1, New Order.
New Order is a bullet.
Great. Great game. New Order right now, I mean, it came out PS4. The Xbox One era, you know, it's not that old. It's like 2012 or something.
Right.
Let's see if I have the actual date. 2014.
14.
And it's so good. Gosh dang it. Go play that game.
Oh, wow. Breaking news. I was looking while you were talking about that. Because now you've got me so excited. The fact that it rates so high, this RPG version of Wolfenstein, they did port over Doom 2 RPG, according to Rock Paper Shotgun.
To what?
On May, what's that now?
To what? Where? Where can I play it?
To PC.
What?
So if that engine is there, might we see the Wolfenstein version? I wonder, and this was just announced in May, so interesting.
Let's take a look. Okay, so it's a fan thing, right? Something like that?
Yeah, I'm gonna shoot you this link. He'll be under Mecha Hitler in the Discord server. Can't miss him.
Shit. I'm playing this.
Yeah, so a curiouser and curiouser.
So it's a fan-made PC port, it looks like.
Is it a fan-made port? So it's generally
it's not official, yeah. But it's pulled out of the... So somebody reproduced it.
It's a true port. It's not like a... Yeah.
These games are great, dude.
Yeah, they look awesome.
I'm happy that the fandom out there is trying to do something, but I really want Bethesda or whoever owns the rights to these two things. Just put them out. Put them out on, I don't know, put them on phones again or something. Do something.
Release them for the PS5. Come on.
Put them on the PlayStation 5.
Put them on the PlayStation.
All right. Let's move on away from Wolfenstein. Wolfenstein's great. Go play it, everybody. All of these things we mentioned, they're great. They're except those first two are real tough, but they deserve to be seen. Go at least see some video.
Yeah, they deserve to be seen and heard. It's a lot of fun holding up Nazis on that first and second one. They'll raise their hands up and you can end up shooting them anyway. But then you search the bodies. There's a timing mechanic to unlocking chests, which that elevates the tension because you're trying to open a chest and you've got like so many seconds to do it before the guards make her back around to get you. Guns and Navarone, by the way, was an inspiration for Silas Warner to put this in that world.
Wow.
And I've never seen it. And I wanted to catch some of this past week. I didn't get around to
it. You've never seen Guns of Navarone? It's been ages for me, but it's
good. I've never seen it. I've seen like clips and stuff like, you know, here's a clip from one of the top 100 movies from the blah, blah, blah. I'm like, okay, cool.
It's old as dirt. I mean,
yeah,
it's 1961. David Niven, Gregory Peck, Anthony Quinn. It's a great movie. Should see it.
Into it. But does it star BJ Blazkowicz?
It does not. And otherwise, it does not star him, but it does have Richard Harris. He's pretty great.
Okay.
Yeah. He's the late great Richard Harris kicking ass in the Guns of Navarone.
Oh, there is. I did find the Wolfenstein RPG, and it is an IPA file.
What?
And I will see if I can emulate it.
Brian! If you
Brian,
did that,
put it on our devices.
Put it on the Amber Nick. I'll play it tonight.
All right. We'll see if we can do
I'm sure it'll be no problem at all just to do it by tonight. It'll be great. All right, let's move on. It's time for a little bit of this business.
Destroy it.
Time to play Guess My Game. We play audio from an old game, and we try to guess what it is. And the chat room sometimes gets involved, likes to say stuff. By the way, big thanks to everybody who showed up this morning. I know it's a weird time to record this show.
Oh, yeah. Doing this on a Saturday morning, if we didn't already mention that.
Yeah, appreciate that. Yeah. Let's get to mine. Here is your hints to start things. It is a Super Nintendo Entertainment System game. Came out in Japan in 1995.
Japan?
But did not come out until 2011 in North America on the Nintendo DS. Okay, so this is an important note.
DS, okay.
Because it did come out. It just came out long time later when the original game came out in 1995. You may love it long time. I'm not sure.
Okay, thank you.
But here it is. Let's see if you know what this is.
Flute.
It's got some of my favorite sound work of all Super Nintendo games ever. Oh, and this is music. This is sound from the SNES game, not from the DS game. Anyway, any guesses? Any questions? You got three if you want.
Okay, so I get three questions.
Yeah.
Came out for, you said, the DS, right? But originally for the SNES.
Originally SNES, later DS, yeah.
Right. So Super Famicom would have been for the Japanese version.
Correct.
So, is this a Nintendo property? You always have to ask that when
it is not
a Nintendo game, right?
Definitely not a Nintendo original, no.
Not a Nintendo.
But I will say, to add on to that, it is a massive developer publisher of the era.
Okay. Is it an RPG?
Yes.
Okay. So we've got not first party necessarily for Nintendo. So it's not one of their IPs. It is an RPG.
Yep.
And it is a big
IP, although I would argue bigger in Japan initially, but it's now big in the States. People like it here a lot.
Is it
and Europe.
Final Fantasy Tactics?
Incorrect. That's your second question down. Oh, wait, no, it's your third question
now. That's my third question. That was my guess. Yeah. I should have asked another question and did that. Shoot.
Well, now at least you have another guess if you want to take it.
Okay.
I'll say you're in adjacent territory, if that helps you at all.
It does not. So.
It doesn't help me one bit.
Does not help me one ass bit.
Yeah.
Listen to that. Dragon Quest 18.
Oh, shit. You know what? I'm going to give you a half point because it is Dragon Quest.
Right.
It is Dragon Quest 6 for...
Oh, that was what I was going to say. I knew it had to be one of this music sounded very reminiscent of both of those.
It's one of the most... I have to admit, I recently discovered this doing stuff on the Amber Nick. It is one of the prettiest JRPG pixel games I've ever seen. I didn't know it looked this good. And 5 did not look like this.
5 not look like this, man.
Yeah, everything leading up to it didn't look as good. And that may have been, you know, maybe those reports from NES titles. And again, they were all in Japan, so I don't know. But this 6th one just looked insane. The detail on the buildings and the towns and the music and the sound effects. Like, next level.
I think I'm a real big fan. I had not played any of the games in the series until more recently, and it was on the Game Pass. What was it? 14? Which one was it?
11, is it?
11. I can't remember. It was one of those Roman numerals that was always throwing me off.
Very good game.
I played it, and I was like, oh, okay, I get it.
Yeah.
And I started going back, and I started looking at them, and I've played a few of them on the Amber Nick myself.
Yeah, this is considered right up there with the best on every list I find is the newest one. People love that new one, so that new one.
I'm the best of the best, sir. Yes,
best
sir.
Best of the best, yes, sir. But this game is still great, and I've been playing it a bit, and I would recommend it. It is, again, the Super Famicom slash North American Nintendo DS release of that game, Dragon Quest VI. And for those, we haven't really done a show about this yet. Well, we did a little bit, because we talked Final Fantasy, but we haven't really talked, or did we do a Final Fantasy special? I don't remember now.
I think we did a Final Fantasy on the poop show. I don't remember. I want to say that we did some Final Fantasy stuff too, but I don't think we've done it in the context of this show.
I don't remember. At one point,
me and you have definitely went at length talking about Final Fantasy.
Yeah, I think the part of the reason we haven't done an actual show on it is it's a beast. You almost have to do it per game. It's like you can't just do the whole I mean, it just feels like a lot. But anyway, that was Square doing Final Fantasy. Enix was the company doing Dragon Quest, among other games. And that is where those two of the greatest JRPG creators of all time finally merged and became Square Enix. So a lot of people don't know where that name comes from, but there you go. And some of you do, you're laughing at me now. Like, Scott, of course we know this, but some people don't. All right.
I think we did Phantasy Star, and we said we were going to get back to Final Fantasy, and we never did because it is such a beast.
It's so good, dude.
I think that's what happened.
It's so good.
But we've talked about Seven before because we went back and played it when the remake was coming out for some reason or another. I can't remember what we did it for.
Yeah, I don't remember either, but I think we'll get around to it. The point is, those games hold the hell up. They're great.
Yeah, they do.
Let's play yours. You say it's an NES 1987 game. Anything else you want to tell me about this?
NES 1987. I'm not giving you squat because you got three questions.
Oh,
and
shit.
How about this? I'll tell you this. It was released in North America in 1987. And unlike your game, the opposite happened. It did not release in Japan until 1988.
Ooh, a couple of years later. That tells me something.
Yeah, and EU didn't get it until 1990.
Wow. EU. Look at you. All right. Let's see what we got here. It's got a lot of music in there.
Yeah, love the music.
Yeah. No guesses yet.
Love this music. It's a soundtrack of my life, baby.
Oh my gosh. What year? 87.
87. I never played this game. It's a game that I knew about and I watched some videos on, but I never played it.
Gosh, dude. All right. Question number one.
Ask me the first. First thing I would ask is like, who's the developer? Just saying, if I was... Right.
Who's the developer, Brian?
It's Rare, and I'll even give you the publisher Acclaim. How about that? Does that kind of get you started at least a little bit?
Yeah. Well, that's interesting. Europe got it later, but Rare was Europe. They were a European developer. Crazy. Early Rare stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Is it based on a famous IP of some kind?
No.
Totally original then.
Yeah.
At
least I don't know of any of IP that it was based on. And somebody would probably go, oh, you didn't read the books? No. No, I did not.
Dumbass.
No, I didn't. Not publicly knowledge about that.
I got one more question, don't I? Is it a side scroller?
It would be side scrolling.
Okay. Correct. I'm all out of questions.
What if I told you Chris and Tim Stamper worked on it as designers?
That doesn't help me at all.
Yeah, I know, right? It.
All right. Is this game called Let's Go on an Adventure Through the Woods? Oh,
it is an adventure, and it's just not in the title, but that is a good narrowing down, and I'll give you just one more.
All right. One more guess. I really don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
Wonder Boy goes to school. I have no idea.
Perfect. Nailed it. Yeah. Wonder Boy goes to school. The adventure from Rare from 1987 for the NES. Yeah. Nailed it. Wizards and Warriors.
Oh, Wizards and Warriors. What? I knew
Wizards
that.
Wizards and Warriors.
I remember that game. Damn
yes.
it. Yes. Did anyone in the chat get it? Oh, yeah.
And there were sequels, but it's not
Greg got
known
it.
For his sequels, right?
Yeah, good job, Greg. Greg teaching school and remembering cool shit. That's awesome. Well, you stumped me there, dude. Well done.
That was good. But I love the music. Holy crap. It blew me away when I was digging around. Apparently, David Wise was the composer on that. And I was like, oh, what beautiful audio stuff. I'm like, I got to get this.
You know, it'd be fun, although I'm sure this exists, so it's a waste of time. But somebody on YouTube's already done it. But somebody somewhere has gone like, what is the best sounding NES title of all time? It's got to be it.
Right. Thing.
Right.
It's got to be. And it's got to be that one, right? I think it is. This guy did Marble Madness.
Oh, I love Marble Madness.
For the NES.
Are you
kidding
me?
It was the NES version, I suppose. Yeah. California Game stuff. He did a bunch of stuff. Man, this guy was prolific.
Oh, here we go. Top 150 best NES music tracks. 5 hours.
5 hours. Buckle up.
The 35 most graphically mind-blowing NES games. There's tons of these.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Top 10 NES bangers, best songs of the NES.
See, I like when they call them bangers.
Yeah. Top Gun dubbed with its Nintendo game sounds. Oh, that's funny.
I don't know, but I want to play. I saw another one. There's a Game Boy Advance called It's Mr. Pants.
I'm in. Let's go.
And I want to play It's Mr. Pants.
Pants. Here, let me look at this. Game Boy Advance.
I don't know anything about this, but it's to create rectangles which have to be 2x3 blocks or larger to clear them from the grid. So it's one of those games.
That's a puzzle game.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let me hit play here.
But the title is worth it.
Let me just see what this is. Here, chat will show you.
It's Mr. Pants.
Mr. Pants.
Yes, exactly.
Did you mean to do that?
I had no idea. I've never heard it before.
That's so
exactly
funny.
What I would have done.
That's exactly right.
He's got big underwear. He's not even pants. It's English pants. They're underwear. They're underoos. They're literally tidy whities, right?
What Except is
they're
this not white. Game? I'll skip ahead so I can see it. That's those puzzles. Oh, so you're clearing out like. Okay.
It's like the
Tetris
grid
pieces.
Kind of things where you're clearing out to just, yeah. Is it kind of Tetris-y, but so you can clear the, so you can see the picture behind it?
I guess so.
It's one of those, they have a title, right? Oh, and it's using the Rare logo for part of that.
Yeah.
But this is pretty cool.
Never even heard of this.
Kind of like a reverse Tetris, and it clears out the image like you would do for, you know, the horn dogs back in the day. It's like, I need to clear this picture so I can see the porn behind.
Yeah.
It's, kind of like that idea.
Yeah, no, when I played what was it called with the pipes? Frisky Tom back in the day.
Oh, Frisky Tom. That's a great one.
That game,
yeah,
that
Frisky
arcade
Tom.
Game was all about it. If you knew the dip switches, you put them on Japanese mode and the lady you were trying to eliminate all the bubbles from her tub, she was naked in there. But if you did it in America, the dip switches were set to be just a swimsuit lady, which was kind of annoying.
Aww. Yeah. Oh, look. The Japanese are like nudity, sure. Swastikas, no.
Well,
America,
we had
just the opposite. Swastikas, sure.
We had that game in our basement though, so my brother and I knew all the tricks. We knew what to do.
Right,
we had it figured out.
Well, I'm cheating it right now. I just Google the image you're naked, so that's perfect. Now I know.
Yeah, and it's not really great, is it? It's bad.
It's not great.
Frisky.
It was, but it's not great. But it's the best we had.
Let's see if I can find it too, so I can show chat if it's not too crazy. Let's see. I thought Frisky Tom was great at the time.
It's Mr. Pants.
Yeah.
Hi there. I'm Mr. Pants.
Oh, I just did a non-filtered search of Frisky Tom, and that was a bad idea. Well, this will give people the idea. Hold on. Okay, so it's this little this is how easily entertained very young boys can be. But this is the American one where she's wearing the bikini. But
This
was so dumb. We were just like so excited to get all those bubbles gone. It was so dumb.
Bubbles, 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 bubbles. IZ cleavage. Bubbles, bubbles.
What a sad thing that is. That's lame.
Oh,
all right.
The master of your domain.
There you go. Well done. With that, let's move on to a little bit of feedback from our listeners.
Welcome to the treasure room.
time for some of that listener feedback. We got an email that came to us at playretroshow@gmail.com. You can also send your text to 801-471-0462. This email says, hello, Scott and Brian. Thanks for over a decade of podcasting.
Yeah.
Would you do a segment of game series titled Harvest Moon? I recall that it was on the SNES, but may have had an earlier release. Thanks for doing Mega Man and Zelda as well, Franklin. Well, Franklin. I was just thinking about this series because Harvest Moon is responsible for lots of things like
So inspirational.
So many games. Like, I don't even know if you have Animal Crossing without Harvest Moon. I don't know if you have games like Stardew Valley or hundreds of other indie titles and otherwise without it. So it's a real rocky history, though. There are some Harvest Moon games that are considered amazing classics, and there are some that are considered just garbage, jank, poo-poo head.
Poo-poo head.
Yep, all that. So we're gonna we're gonna put it on the consideration list. Why not? You know?
Yeah, I think it's a no-brainer. I definitely want to. This is one that I want to hit. Maybe next time I go around. We just did a lot of NES stuff, so SNES and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So we probably need to
arcade somewhere or something. I guess today was kind of PC though.
Yeah, today was mostly PC, even though it started out in Apple. And I didn't know that when I started. I was like, we're going to do some PC stuff. Oh, I remember Wolfenstein. That was all kinds of PC. And then I had, you know, two titles that started right off that were Apple.
Yeah, II. Old Apple II shit from the day.
I didn't know this.
The day. Yeah. When
I like that I'm a hillbilly whenever I go back in my memories. That was like, goo goo. Or I guess I'm a gold prospector. That's what I'm really doing.
Sure. I think that's back when Apple was probably worth. They were maybe $1 million company then or something.
Yeah. It's pretty amazing. Cause I was kind of, it was kind of amazing to see that the inspiration that it was to some of my favorite developers and that they were working on Apples, which was interesting.
Yeah.
I found
That was big stuff. Then. Intriguing. Really, really pushed the personal computer game market at the time. Our next discussion is going to be Marvel versus Capcom. Yes, that's right. We'll start with 1996's X-Men versus Street Fighter. We'll move to 97's Marvel Super Heroes versus Street Fighter. 98's Marvel versus Capcom Clash of Super Heroes. They're all good.
Yes.
They're my favorite of the Capcom fighter things that aren't... Well, I played a lot of Street Fighter 2 Turbo, like a lot. So I can't say that's not like King of the Hill because it kind of is. But these crossovers were so much freaking fun. They were so over the top and so good. So
I loved them. Capcom has their, what do they call it? Showcase? Is that what everybody's calling now since we don't have E3? So Capcom is doing their showcase Monday. Interested to see what they have there. I doubt it's going to be any new X-Men versus Street Fighter stuff. But still.
Could be. I don't know.
Street
Fighter 6 came out, a week and a half ago? And people are loving it. I could see them doing... something. I don't know. They've already got DLC they announced at the Game Fest yesterday or 2 days ago.
Yeah. Wouldn't it be amazing if we predicted it?
Yeah,
We know stuff.
Yeah. I'll bet we get an announcement for a bunch of stuff, including I'll bet there's a new Resident Evil game in the works. I'll bet there's a new Monster Hunter in the works. And I'll bet what was the other thing? Oh, and they're going to talk more about Dragon's Dogma 2, which they announced at the Xbox or the PlayStation event earlier in the year. So.
Right.
Anyway,
so much stuff going on right now with the new video games, the Diablo 4. I was really tempted. I was like, oh, my God, we need to hit the OG Diablos. I'm like, well, we just did PC stuff.
Yeah, we'll get to it.
I want to go back. Yeah.
I've been playing Diablo 4 to death, and I've just about beat the sixth act, which is the final bit of the story anyway.
Nice.
The level cap's 100 now, and I'm only level 42 or something.
No, you're playing hardcore like Bo, right?
No, hell no. Hell no.
Where's he at? I popped in real quick last night, but I couldn't tell what level he's on.
Well, as of last night, I think he was 76 or something. So
nice.
Working his way to 100. He wants to get on that statue and be one of the first 1,000 to beat the game on hardcore without dying. And so far, so good. He hasn't died. He's had a couple of close calls.
Nervous a couple of times.
He's had three other people playing with him, and they've all died. So he's
the only one left.
Is he over 80? All right, chat says he's over 80, 81 last night.
Over 80, that is awesome. For him.
He played all, I mean, this is all he's been doing, is playing this game.
Oh, God, yes. Every time I'm on Twitch and streaming, I'm like,
well,
let's see. Oh, yep, he's still on.
Yep, still over there, still cranking
his life.
He's doing great.
He's still cranking it.
Yep, still cranking it on his live stream. So anyway, watch for more details on that as we get closer to next week's quorum. My guess is he'll be 100 by then, if I had to guess.
Yeah, I sure hope so. I know, you know what I hope even more? I hope he's like number 999, so he has to really sweat balls.
Oh, man. Yeah. I just don't want him to die. I just don't want him to die at 98 or 99. Yeah, no dime.
I want him to make it, but I want it to be a real ball sweater.
Yeah, a real ball sweater.
Yeah.
I get those at Christmas time. I buy the fancy embroidered ones.
Shrinkage.
Ball sweater.
I've made a lot of Seinfeld references today. I'm going to have to.
Yeah, what's your deal? What's going on with that? You just need to watch the show. We watch it all the time, so you can just be like us. Anyway, that's next week. All that Marvel v. Street Fighter stuff and Marvel games that happened in the 90s and beyond. There's more. There's modern stuff that we'll at least reference. So that's all coming up. I want to thank some new patrons. We had a whole slew of new people this week.
Yes.
I really appreciate. We got Troy Press, Steve Manns, Chris B., Craig Watson, and Kelly Snow all joined us at patreon.com/playretro. That's patreon.com/playretro. You'll never get commercials or ads. You'll get pre-show content every week, monthly benefits, and other little bits and bobs here and there. So watch for that. All right. It's great. We love having you. That's patreon.com/playretro. Brian, that's it for us. If you're looking for all other stuff, you can find it at frogpants.com/playretro. Just search for the podcast if you haven't heard it. If you want to watch us live, it's usually Wednesdays at 3:30 Mountain Time here at frogpants.tv.
On the YouTubes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We did this week weird because we had stuff. Things come up. But we're happy to be here anyway.
That was on me. And then on top of that, her mother-in-law fell this morning. So
jeez.
That's
a lot, man. That's freaking a lot.
It's too much.
Too much for one man to bear. All right, that's going to do it for us. Thank you all for listening. And we'll see you next week on another episode of Play Retro.
Octoon!
Octoon, baby.
If you like what you just heard, there's a very good chance you will like all the shows on the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Welcome back to Two Judgy Girls. I'm Mary from the Bay.
And I'm Courtney from LA. TJG is the podcast where we spill all the tea on your favorite reality TV shows, celebrity gossip, and everything in between. We're here to bring you our unfiltered opinions, hilarious commentary, and plenty of laughs along the way.
We're two SDSU Delta Gamma sisters with a microphone and a whole lot of opinions. Each week, we dive headfirst into the wild world of reality television, from Bravo to all the trash TV you could want. We break down the drama, dissect the latest scandals, and share our thoughts on everything from the jaw-dropping moments to the embarrassing antics.
But that's not all. We're not here to just gossip. We're here to connect with you, the jurors, and share our love of all things pop culture. Whether we're dishing on the latest celebrity breakups, discussing our favorite guilty pleasure movies, or sharing embarrassing stories from our own lives, we promise to keep it real, keep it fun, and keep you coming back for more.
Come judge with us.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.